Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know with all of the newest information, latest releases, and the very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Saturday, September 2nd, 2017. Special episode of Newest, Latest, Best today. I have an interview for you, an interesting one about early access and about Conan Exiles, Funcom's survival game set in the Conan universe. It is an interview with Joel Bylos, the creative director on the game, and it turned out to be a really fascinating discussion. A little bit longer episode than normal, but I hope you enjoy it. I'm joined by Joel Bylos, who is the creative director on Conan Exiles from Funcom. This is one of those survival games set in the Conan universe. Welcome, Joel. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
So Conan Exiles has been in early access for a while, and you guys officially out of early access, right?
No, we have we're looking to come out of early access in the first quarter 2018.
Oh, crazy. Okay, cool. So and already there's an expansion level of content that you guys have put out just recently, the Frozen North, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
So already a ton of content. I want to talk about the game. I want to talk about the process of early access and all of that. But let's start at the beginning, because we're seeing, you know, these survival games where you start with literally nothing and go from being, you know, a naked, scared person in a very scary place to being a very powerful person with crafted weapons and armor and lodging. We're seeing that emerge as its own genre. And I'm wondering what the impetus was to create a game in that genre with the Conan license.
Sure. So, I mean, we have worked with the Conan license before. We made a massively multiplayer game back in the past, Age of Conan.
Which I really liked, by the way. I was a big fan of that game. I thought the combat system in that game was awesome, and the look and feel of the world was pretty great. So I was a big fan of that game.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It still holds up pretty well too. I still play it. I still log in and play sometimes, just awesome. You know, for that feeling. But yeah. So with Conan Exiles, yeah. So we were sort of following this genre closely. We've been making MMOs for a very long time, and we wanted something that fitted our skill set, but we don't have the company size that we used to have, so we didn't think we could try and make it a new MMO. But we thought maybe something in the survival genre would fit very well along these lines, and of course the Conan universe is a great fit for survival. So we picked it out, and we really liked this concept of sort of going from, you know, in the wild surviving to, you know, really being the king of the server or the king of the land. And that kind of mirrors the journey that Conan himself takes in the stories. So
right. And it does seem like Conan Exiles, especially when compared to other games in the similar, you know, genre, it does kind of straddle being an MMO more than maybe most of them. You actually have dungeon content and other factions that exist in the world other than just players. And there's more sort of quest content to encounter than a lot of these games show, right?
Yeah, I think in being true to the spirit of the universe, we needed to add, you know, it's a world that was lived in before the player came along. A lot of these games tend to sort of throw you into a completely empty sandbox. We know that this sandbox has been played in before, and that's also part of the thematic deal with the Conan universe. Again, you know, ancient civilizations, and you're just savages walking in the ruins of an ancient past. So we wanted to sort of, yeah, bring that forward in the game. So yeah, that's why we have this type of content.
It's really cool. I think it's a great addition, meaning there's more to do than just become more robust and more have more buildings that you've built and stuff. There's actual purpose that's applied, and I that's one of the reasons that I think the game stands out for me.
Absolutely. I mean, and when we add the main storyline, you know, you can play it completely as a single player game, and there will be an ending to the story as well that players can sort of reach, and then they make a choice. So
oh, wow. Very cool. So tell me about the Frozen North, because this is Conan Exiles, as I played it, you wake up in the desert. It's very dry. It's very hot. It's very arid. It's very Conan. But now you have a basically an entirely new biome that's been introduced into the game.
Yeah, so you know, obviously the world of Conan stretches across many different environments. Conan was born in Sumeria, which is a land of dark and rugged hills and sort of a gloomy place full of mist. And so we wanted to capture that. We're sort of trying to capture microcosms of the different parts of the Conan universe. So yeah, we started in the burning deserts, which sort of reflect Stygia and Shem from the Conan stories. And then, yeah, we've been building out this mountainous region, which we call the Frozen North, which is, you know, you sort of run through, I guess, a couple of biomes, because you start in fertile Scottish highlands, and then you end up in the very icy, frozen reaches of the north, which are more like the Alps or the Norwegian mountains.
Right. Yeah, it's cool to have such varied terrain in a survival game like this. Is there an option of spawning in the new area? How does the expansion exactly work?
At the moment, you start in the desert, and it's sort of your progression path is towards the north. So the north is where you find the largest challenges at the moment. So it's a bit more of a linear flow at the moment towards the north from the south.
Cool. And there's a new dungeon, right? That's part of this expansion. Yep. And new factions.
Yeah, we've added, you know, a couple of new factions. Well, if the Frost Giants count as a faction of their own, there's a third faction. You have the Frost Giants, and then you have a Sumerian clan called the Forgotten Clan. And they're sort of convinced that they're dead and that this is the afterlife and that they're living in the sort of the ruins of an ancient battlefield. And they're absolutely convinced that this is their punishment for living bad lives. So, and then you have,
that's awesome.
And then you have these guys called the Heirs of the North, who are basically, you know, Vikings. They drink all night, fight all day.
Rad. So what would you qualify as the biggest challenges between coming from an MMO, a traditional MMO, and doing more of a survival game? What things have you learned, and what did you find to be the biggest challenges?
I think part of the challenge, well, if I can just take a step back and say, I think early access is perhaps more challenging. Right. Just in general, I think with early access, you don't have as much, like, I'm used to working on games that have a 3 to 4 year development cycle, and you revealing, marketing is showing off features that are already in the game that are implemented. And then when the game launches, you know, people are like, okay, all this cool stuff is in the game. With early access, we're talking about things that are coming. We're talking about, you know, we're working on the game as we're actually talking about the things that are being put in. So it becomes, I think, it's a very different type of conversation you have with players, because then people, you know, they come with a lot of suggestions and you really want to listen and put in everything, but you also have to take focus and be clear about what the vision for the game is and where you're going with it. So I think in general, early access is a bit of a challenge, just in that way. It's a new type. It's a new way of working for me, especially as a creative director. It's about holding the vision and also including the players in that vision. Whereas on the survival side, I think it's just more that we had to adjust to a new type of server setup. Players can have their own servers, so there's a lot of technical challenges to solve around that. We've been working with our own MMO engine for many years, and we switched to the Unreal Engine for this game. So that's also been a challenge. We've been, you know, learning new technology as we go. So there's been quite a few technical challenges. From the design side, I think we've also just had to sort of, like you mentioned, the fact that we have factions and we have content. I'm very much from the school. Originally, my first few games were all about very focused content design and delivering experience in every quest and every story, and having to step back and really embrace the sandbox mentality has been an interesting challenge.
Yeah, that does sound interesting. And I imagine that, at least with my experience with Conan and with a lot of these games, is that there's a lot of experiencing the first, you know, 2 hours of the content over and over, because I will get myself into a situation that I probably shouldn't have gotten into and die. And you know, obviously there are ways to pick up where I left off, and all your skills and stuff are persistent. But I imagine that's a unique challenge for dealing with what a player goes through in the learning curve of your universe, of that dying and having to start over and making sure all of that doesn't feel punishing and does feel fun every time.
Yeah, that was a very difficult. It's a very difficult balance to strike. One of the sort of features we added to Conan Exiles that I don't know if you've played Ark. So in Ark, for example, a lot of us have played Ark and we love it. And one of the things that really frustrated us with Ark was that when you started the game in the middle of the night, it was pitch black and you just could get killed by anything. And so one of the things we implemented in Conan Exiles was you actually never start at night. The client of the game will keep you in the daytime when you start up. So the client side will show daytime until you reach the river, which is sort of the first area where the game opens up. And then nighttime will start to sync up with whatever the server time is. So we decided that, for example, that experience of starting in pitch black, not really knowing what to do and just dying very quickly, wasn't what we wanted. But we still wanted to challenge the player to reach the river. So we sort of made small tweaks. And there's a lot of sort of testing and ideas that go into the background here. And then there's just tweaking. And in early access, it's actually really nice because players tell us, they say, this doesn't work for me. We have a look at it. We try to see what we can do. Okay, we can tweak that towards, you know, in this direction. So,
yeah, I love it. That's fascinating. And I didn't notice it, but now that you mention it, yeah, I never started at night. That's really, really cool. And it is very frustrating in Ark when that happens. I'm really glad you brought up early access because that's something that I'm really interested in just because it seems to be this new sea change in the industry. And I'm wondering from your side of things, you know, you talk about some of the challenges that you have maintaining a steady vision for the game and also reacting to what the players want. But also I'm wondering if from a pure, I don't want to say marketing, but just cultural awareness about your game. Is there ever a worry of like only having one time to make a first impression and these games that are constantly evolving and you're not showing the final vision of what you expect the game to be the first time a player potentially sees it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a concern. We discuss it at work sometimes as well. We're launching, so it's interesting because in a way we've launched on PC and we just recently launched on Xbox and we'll be launching on PS4 during Q1 2018. So in that way, we consider each of those platforms a new audience that are coming to the game for the first time. So we're not concerned about first impressions at those junctures. The bigger concern is improving the game enough, like that we get the polish level we'd like, that players who played on PC and do come back to look at it. And I don't expect everybody to come back and look at it. From past experience. I mean, we've made huge changes to our MMOs in the past and done big changes, and you never get the 100% of the people coming back. But the idea is to have it at a point where people come back and none of the things that they disliked before are there anymore. So that they come back and they say, okay, this is something I can sink my teeth into now. So I guess for every launch that we have, we want to try and make the experience as good as it can be. We're not super concerned about that we've lost our one chance because there's a new audience on every platform to reach out to. But I do think in terms of early access, I think there is a quality level in early access that has increased over the years. People keep raising the bar. And so I think early access itself has also progressed in terms of the quality level people expect from an early access game.
Yeah, and it's almost the terms have become a little nebulous, right? Because you guys, even when you come out with, you know, your 1.0 release, you're not going to be done working on the game. These games are always evolving. That's the kind of the new paradigm is that, you know, these types of games are going to be worked on and evolve. So is there even a huge difference between your early access state and your release state from your perspective? Or, you know, what is the determining factor to say, hey, this is 1.0?
So we basically made, I don't know how familiar you are with development roadmaps, but we essentially have a roadmap with all the features that we'd like to have in that we can call the game 1.0 when it has all those features. And our definition of done for those features is when they're polished. And there's no bugs in those features. So that's kind of what we're working towards. So that's okay. That's when we label it 1.0. Now, whether people agree that that's a 1.0 or, you know, whether that's the same level of polish that, say, Blizzard put into their 1.0s, well, that's a that's a different discussion. But I feel like we at least have a clear idea of what we would like to try and do. And then there's, you know, there are always concern, you know, there's always budgetary pressure from, you know, management. You get pressure on budgets, you get pressure on timelines. So it's all about trying to make a realistic roadmap and meet it for the launch. So yeah, hopefully, my aim is to have a very polished game for 1.0 that or has all the features we want to have.
It's a really exciting prospect, I think, from the gamer's side, because, you know, you get invested in these games and they're constantly evolving. There's new stuff all the time. You don't have to wait just for a big expansion. I mean, you guys have put out this big expansion, but it doesn't have to be in these big, huge chunks. You get, you know, improvements all the time. I think that's a really exciting prospect for gamers. So it's something that I've been in favor of. It's just interesting to see the evolution of the industry in that way.
Yeah, I think it's really a if you want, the industry has just been moving towards larger and larger budgets. And people need to be able to pay their teams earlier in the process now, I think. I mean, right. it's okay for a company that has, you know, huge revenues, but it's moving a little more towards the movie industry in that respect. You have some very successful indies, and then a lot of indies that don't make a lot of money, and then you have some huge blockbuster studios that are pumping out, you know, the games that are guaranteed to make their margins. And right. and sort of it's the companies that are in the middle that I think is slowly fading. And so I think early access really pushes that model of you can be a smaller company or at least a mid-sized company and you can start making money earlier and people can see the potential of where you're going.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious what your perception of, since you launched on Xbox One and are heading toward PlayStation 4, the difference in how console gamers have received your game and PC gamers. Is there a difference in expectation? Have you guys had to do anything different for the console side than the PC side?
Well, we made a lot of control adjustments for the console version, and user interface adjustments that we're still working on. It's in game preview on Xbox, so it's almost like early access on Xbox. It's the same sort of deal. So it's still not finished there. I think in terms of the Xbox folks, I've been talking with a lot of people on Twitter. It's a rocky launch, right? Some things have gone wrong. The game has been crashing for some people constantly. You know, there's always this nice shaky start thing where you end up sort of, you know, talking to players, and most people are incredibly understanding, both on PC and Xbox. Actually, the angry gamer sort of stereotype, I think, is really only a few loud voices here and there, and most people are pretty reasonable. So, no, I've found my interactions with the Xbox crowd haven't been that different. It's a bit different in the sense that most of my talk with them has been on Twitter because there hasn't been a really good place for us to talk to them. We have a Reddit page, but that seems to be mostly the PC people. So it's so far it's been good. We've gotten a lot of feedback, and it's interesting, I think, the way the versioning system works on Xbox, because on Steam, you know, we push a button to push out patches whenever they're ready. On Xbox, we have to run through an additional quality checking process with Microsoft. And so it takes slightly longer to patch on Xbox. And people pretty used to that and fairly patient, I would say. So it's quite interesting.
That's cool. As a sandbox game, that where people can build, you know, whatever they can imagine with the tools that you provide, has there been stuff that has surprised you that you didn't think gamers could do, or that people have done that you didn't expect?
Oh yeah, people make people make amazing structures. See, it's actually, again, one of the great things about early access. We've had to do a lot of server optimizations because people have been building just, you know, extremely large cities that we weren't expecting them to build. I've seen, you know, the river. There's a really big river in the game, and I've seen that river completely paved over by players, the entire length of the river. I mean, tens of thousands of building pieces connected together to cover the river. I've seen, you know, people have walled off the entire entrance to the playfield to prevent new players from being able to get into the game, which has been
But
we added a climbing system to get people over that wall. So it's been really fun.
Great.
But yeah, no, I mean, people always surprise us. We do try to highlight some of the really cool community buildings, and people, you know, people, they just let their imaginations run wild, and they, yeah, it's crazy what they can do.
That's so cool, man. That's awesome.
It's really fun.
Well, let's just wrap up now. The Frozen North is out now. It's part of the game at this point. It's a free.
Yeah, it's right? completely free. I think people were a little confused that we use the word expansion, but really it's in terms of the amount of content that's in it, you know, all the new creatures, all the new recipes, all the new building types. And of course, like I think it's another 70% the size of the first map. So it's an expansion in everything except price. So that's why we called it expansion. So yeah, it's free though. So
very cool. And then the game, you said you're aiming toward first quarter 2018 for a full release and a release on PlayStation, right?
That's it.
Awesome. So Conan Exiles, where can people find out more about the game and get involved?
Yeah, conanexiles.com. Check out the store page on Steam. If you're on Steam, on Xbox, Xbox Store. Game preview section.
Well, thanks so much for being with me, Joel.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Amazing.